This message was recorded live at the Ark Church in Conroe, Texas.
There's an example of strength that we talked about in the Bible last week. I'm not going to take a lot of time to recap. We talked about the story of a good example of strength with a man named Caleb. And Caleb's story was he was one of the original group that came out of Egypt. They'd been slaves in Egypt for 400 years. And God sent Moses, and Moses was used as a catalyst to get them out of Egypt. And so coming out of Egypt, they encountered a lot of different things. They came through the Red Sea. They went through the desert. But they've come right up to the edge of the Promised Land. And as they got to the edge of the Promised Land, Moses sent 12 guys into the Promised Land to come back and tell everybody what was going on. And when they came back, two different things happened. 10 guys had one thing to say. 2 guys had another thing to say. So we're going to read Caleb. Caleb, years later, is recounting what happened. And in Joshua 14, 7 and 8, Caleb said, "I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought back word to him as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God." Now, this is a good example of an element of spiritual strength. Caleb brought back, he said, "I brought back word that was in my heart." When Caleb came back, his report was, "This is a great land, and God is helping us. He is with us. We can do this. Let's go get it." In fact, he said, "Let's go right now and get it." He was excited. The challenge was, he said, "My brothers who went with me made the heart of the people melt." Now, how did they do that? Well, Caleb was saying, "Let's go get it," but 10 guys said, "Guys, we can't do this. We bit off more than we could chew. We saw the land, they got walled cities. Man, it's a harsh land. There are people in there, and man, they're big. They're all giants. We look like grasshoppers. We can't do it." And they brought up what the scripture says were a bad report. Even though God said it was a good land, they're saying it's a horrible land and we can't do it. And the next verse says that the people cried that night. And what we found out was that words are powerful. And words can encourage, and words can discourage. Words can lift, words can tear down. Now, how many of you don't have to raise your hand, but look, this situation where you were having a great day, enjoying your day, you felt good, things were going good at work, and you got a phone call. And you answer that phone call, and man, somebody just had some bad news for you, and it was horrible news. And when you got off the phone, you went from here to here pretty quick. Am I the only one that's ever happened to? No, of course not. All of us have been there. And so he said, they caused the heart of the people to melt. Now, there's an interesting little note right there, because that's the value, that's one of the challenges of leadership. When Moses sent 12 guys in, he sent 12 leaders. And the 12 leaders, why? Because leaders tend to have more influence. So anything you're leading needs to have good words around it. If you come in and you're the leader of something, how many of you know, okay, we're about to roll into football season, thank the Lord. And in football season, how many of you know you don't want a quarterback who hits the huddle and goes, "I don't know what we're going to do, guys, but man, if you keep letting that end come around and hit me again, I don't know if I'm going to make it." They look at him and go, "You're the captain and there's no crying in football." They get rid of you in a heartbeat. You don't want anybody talking that. Would you want the coach of your little league team to go, "Guys, we don't have any talent. We're going to get killed. But go give it your best." As a parent, you'd be like, "Hey, whoa, time out." Because you recognize that leaders make a difference. Would you want the president of your company to come on and say, "I need to address you. I don't know what we're going to do. Y'all need to pray. It looks bad. I'd update my resume if I were you." That's not a good thought. And you recognize those words can cause people's hearts to melt. But, you know, you say, "Well, I'm not a leader of anything." Well, actually, you lead you. Who do you listen to more than you? You. When you want someone's opinion, who do you ask first? You ask you. When you're driving down the road talking, you're like, well, what do I think about this? I know you don't talk to yourself, but you're lying if you're going to say you don't talk to yourself. Because you know you do. So this just on a leadership note. By the way, just here's product placement. We're starting a leadership track in our life groups. And we're going to develop what I really hope will become one day ARC Academy. We're starting to start that. And it's got leadership tracks in it. It's got ministry tracks in it. And Bob and I have a heart to one day have a ministry-type school here. And so we're launching that. We're soft launching it. And so so here's the deal. I told Bob, I said, here's my heart on this. I want a Bible-type school, leadership school, where people can come almost like a community college, where you don't have to leave your job to be able to go to get a further education. Right? I had to quit a job, go up to Bible school, and we starved. But so I've got a different vision. But I really believe that'll develop later. So if you have any interest in that, out in the lobby is how we're starting. We're soft launching this. In fact, you're the first group to hear about it. Sunday crowd didn't even know. Y'all are special. And so here we go. Caleb said, Caleb wholly followed God. So we find that following God is hearing what God says. It's agreeing with what God says and then sticking with it. That's following God. So how do I follow the Lord? We begin to hear what His Word says, and then we begin to stick with that, and we agree with that, and then we don't give up on that. I can remember, and some of you may remember the first time that you really came to a knowledge that you were actually born again, that you were saved, and that's a wonderful revelation. And maybe you heard me say it, and you confess I'm a new creation. You don't. That's who I am. I'm a new creation. And then if someone asks you, say, hey, did you get religion? And you got a moment of truth there. You can go, oh, did I get religion? Or do I have a relationship with Jesus Christ? Don't tell people you got religion. People are, honestly, a lot of people are sick of religion. What people want is a relationship. So say, you know, I've got a relationship with the Lord Jesus. Now, you might get a raised eyebrow. But don't let the raised eyebrow cause you to back up on what you know in your heart is true. And so you can go with, no, I'm following God. I remember I told a group of sales reps that when I'd gotten saved, I said, yeah, I've given my heart to the Lord. One guy looks at me and said, so you're like a Bible freak? I looked at him, I said, no, I'm not a Bible freak. And I was about to get up in his face. I thought, probably not a good witness. So I just said, no, I'm not a Bible freak. I have a relationship with the Lord Jesus. Not everyone's going to like it, but I tell you what, if at least you'll just say, hey, I got a relationship, and I'm learning, I'm growing, God's helping me. There are people who want what you've got, and they want for you to make it. I mean, they may talk about you, they may look at you, but then it'll slip up in your office or by your cubicle, or they're going to catch you out by the truck, and they're going to go, would you pray for my mom? She's got cancer. And they'll want somebody that can pray. I'm going through a tough time with my marriage. Would you pray? Hey, that's why we're here. Don't need to call a preacher. We've got you. And say, I don't know if I know that much. If you know enough to be compassionate and kind, and just tell people, I don't know everything, but I know God will help you. Hey, that's all you got. That's good. That'll help. All right, so let's talk a little bit about instructions for heart health. And I want to look at a passage in the Bible, because we talked about guarding our heart. And I want to look at a passage in the Scripture, which is probably just, it's a wonderful passage, but it gives us an idea. Now, you say, well, Alan, why is that important? Because we find out that as a Christian, we learn to live out of our heart. The Bible said, with the heart man believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made to salvation. That's how you got saved. Is you heard a message, you heard in your heart, you believe that, you spoke that. And so actually we learned that we live out of our hearts. And so let's take a look at this, because the Bible tells us to protect our hearts. So here's the first one. It's found in the book of Proverbs. It's Proverbs 4, and it's verse 20 through 22. We're going to look at the rest of the passage, but let's just look at that right now. My son, give attention to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. So he's talking about some things, and right here, this is an offensive move. He's saying, here's a place to focus right here. So let's look at this real quick. He said, attention. He said, give attention to my words and incline your ear to my sayings. So in other words, this is something where I'm going to give attention. You came tonight, you're hearing God's word, you're giving attention to it, you're inclining your ear to what it says. I think it goes without saying, how many of you know that right now there are so many things clamoring for our attention? And it's people say, well, it's always been that way. I think there's always been distractions, but the distractions we have available now are colossal. I mean, someone said that we look at our phones an average of 89 times a day. I don't even want to count. But how many of you know you can get so phone addicted that you'll turn around and go back and get your phone. I've done it. Have you ever done it? Leave the house, you go, whoa, left my phone. Like I can't live without it. Go back and get it. Why? You can just get phone addicted. And so there's things clamoring for our attention. One of the best things you can ever do, especially if you're going to have a quiet time, is put your phone out of reach and put it on silent. Because you're trying to read, and boy, it's dinging and chiming. Some of you social mavericks are just, people are buzzing, tinging you all the time. I work out in the gym one time. I can get more work done in 30 minutes than most of the people can get done in an hour, because they lift and then they... I'm old school. Out. I'm done. Looking at them like, y'all listen to me. I'll get you out of here quicker. But is it true we're distracted? And so he's saying, give attention to what? He said, give attention to my words. And what he's talking about, where the application is God's word. And not just looking, but he said, don't let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. How many of you know you can look at something, you can read something, or you can read a book, you can hear something, and it just goes off in you, and then about an hour later, you're like, what was that? You can walk out of here and someone say, man, wasn't that a great message? And you're like, man, that was a great message. And about 30 minutes later, somebody, you remember when Alan said that? And you're like, I don't remember anything. I don't remember anything you said. Yeah, and that's just in my family. So I know in your family it can happen as well. But how many, the key is to keep it in my heart. Now, let me just tell you something I did that helped me. When I first came back to Christ, man, I came out of a hard partying situation. And I'm down here on my own. I did something. I did it unconsciously, but it helped me. But he said, my son, pay attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Don't let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. I was living in Clear Lake, but found Lakewood Church. And I was there pretty much every time the doors opened. And people said, well, that's way too much church for me. Well, I understand. But here's what I was doing is I'm having to renew my mind. I'm having to learn how to think differently. And so I just did the immersion plan. I just jumped in. Church was on, I jumped in. And this is old school days. This is Sunday morning, hour and a half, services. We didn't have services. If service was an hour and a half, we got off light. Services used to run long. Sunday night, anybody remember Sunday night? Mercy, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I went to different classes. What was I doing? I'm helping keep God's word in my heart. If you ever know, I won't ask for a show of hands, but you can go for a while and you're just feeling like, man, I'm doing great spiritually. And you can put your Bible down for a couple of weeks and you can stay out of church for a few weeks. And how many of you feel like, oh dear Lord, I am walking through a spiritual desert. I'm sorry. Was that too close to home? Because you're real quiet there. No, that's true. It happens. Why? Because the objective is we're not just to hear it, but we have to keep it in our heart. And so this is something that we're keeping. Now hang on with me, because I'm going to show you why that's important. So we're not losing sight of what God said. But this is what Caleb did. Remember we said Caleb is a great model? Caleb heard what God said, and he kept it in his heart. So he didn't lose sight of it. He kept it in his heart. So Caleb, he sees the same land those other 10 spies saw, but he had it in his heart. He's like, God said we could take this. So Caleb's like, and so he's keeping that. So he's probably, he and Joshua, he had a buddy. It's good to have a buddy. Jesus sent them out two by two. Don't do this alone. You need friends. That's why we have classes. That's why we have groups. That's why we have serving teams. Because sometimes you'll go through life and you're like, dear Lord, does anybody believe in God? You need a buddy. He goes, yes, we believe in God. You believe in God. God's been good to you. Let's go. And so you need people that will poke you. It's like, come on, come on. Don't feel sorry for yourself. You need a good Christian buddy. Thank you, Mom, for that amen. I appreciate that. You need a good Christian buddy. And it will help you. And you say, well, I don't have one. Be one. Say, I'm waiting for someone to come and mentor me. Go find somebody yourself. I'm sorry. I was not targeting that at millennials. Trust me. But the idea is you want something. Instead of waiting for somebody to come to you, you go to them. You want friends? Be one. Yes. It's called sowing and reaping, not reaping and reaping. Yes. Thank you for everyone over 45 who's clapping. All right, thank you. Listen. The idea is... We got to get this and keep this. So, I want to talk to you a little. Oh, I got a little time. I want to talk to you tonight about something that will help you. Now you say, Alan, you talk about Bible reading all the time. Tonight, I want to talk a little bit about Bible meditation. Meditating in the Scriptures. Now, if you think that I just went New Age on you, I didn't. If you think I went Buddhist on you, I didn't. Meditation is a biblical principle. And it's focused thought. Now you're thinking, Alan, I can barely read my Bible. Now I got to meditate in the Scriptures? Yeah, you do. But here's the deal. Right now, corporate America is pushing Buddhism. And they're pushing it, they're doing a soft push on it, but they're pushing it via meditation and mindfulness. Have you heard that phrase? Last month, I read a publication, National Business Publication, that espoused how wonderful Buddhism was because Buddhism is a cure for anxiety. This was in a national publication. And so, of course, I'm reading it mad. I'm like, what? But here's the deal. As Christians, we have given up the thought of meditating the Scriptures, and we've just relinquished it over to the Buddhists and the New Age and everybody else, and yet the Bible says clearly that if we can meditate in the Scriptures, it does good things for you. But let's get off the idea that when you think, okay, meditate, I gotta sit like cross-legged on the floor with in a little lotus position and go, no. No. Let's look at what God told Joshua. It's focused thought. You say, well, I don't like the word meditate. That's a Bible word, but it's focused thought. Y'all still here? Okay. Joshua, first chapter, verses 7 and 8. So I thought you were talking about guarding your heart. I am. Because let me tell you something. To guard your heart, you've got to guard your thoughts. You say, well, you know, I just wish I could cut my head off because my head gives me so much problems. God would just take my head and empty it out. He's not going to do that. He's not going to take your head off of you. He's not going to empty your head. You need your head. Some of you, that might be a revelation, but you need your head. Seriously. But what it is we just need to get our thoughts under control. Now, it's interesting because the Buddhist will tell you, you can control your thoughts. But when, as a pastor, I stand up and go, you can control your thoughts, people like go, that don't sound spiritual. It's extremely spiritual. Controlling your thoughts, because what gets in your head gets in your heart. Here's where the battle is, guys. You say, I'm in a spiritual battle. Well, it's not like you're going to walk out there in the parking lot and the devil and six demons are going to be standing there going, ha! If that happens, come back inside. But here's what can happen. You walk out and get in your truck and a thought hits you that is negative or demeaning or wrong or perverted. And you're like, where'd that thought come from? That's a horrible thought. Or you might think, well, that's an interesting thought. You got to learn to control your thoughts. And so the scriptures teach us how to do this. Okay, go back to Joshua. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. This is the instructions to Joshua, God's instructions. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. Study this book of instruction continually. What do you think? What's that for us? The Bible. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night. Meditate on it day and night so that you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then you will prosper and succeed in all you do. That sounds like a great promise to me. He said, what? He said, you think I can't meditate. I can't think about scripture day and night. No one can do that. You think about something day and night. I rarely think that you drive. I know sometimes you think you're driving and you've been driving for 30 minutes. You're like, how did I get here? I didn't even know how I got here. Yeah, you can get lost in thought and drive yourself all the way home just on autopilot. But thinking. We're thinking about something. Now, God's telling Joshua, here's something to think about. Mindfulness says, I've got to empty my thoughts and become aware of my breathing and become aware of any feelings. And then I want to clear all thoughts. God has a different way of meditating. He said, don't empty your thoughts, focus your thoughts. Now, let me just give you a good example. I won't ask for a show of hands, but fear is something that everyone deals with. We live in a world that's fearful. It's negative. It's fearful. Well, a lot of times we're like, oh, I need to get rid of fear. Have you ever noticed, though, how many fearful thoughts can come your way? Okay, maybe this has never happened to you. It's happened to me. I had a pain. Get a pain. And it's almost like a voice says, it's cancer. You're going to die. I know I'm the only one, but just indulge me just for a moment. And all of a sudden you start to see yourself, and then you see yourself getting worse, and then you see people come to the hospital room, and then you start thinking about people who didn't come to see you that should have come to see you, and then and then you have the whole family gathered around, and then all of a sudden you're starting to pick out songs for your funeral. And you're like, wait, whoa. It's a gas pain. Happens to everyone. Doesn't kill anybody. What am I saying? I'm saying your thoughts can take off. Now, what if, instead of thinking fearful thoughts, what if just for a while you just sat and you just begin to think? So you read your Bible, you get quiet, you get before the Lord, and you take one verse, you say, for God has not given you a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and of a sound mind. And just for a few moments, that you just take a moment and you think about that. Now, actually, the word means to mutter. And so you could just speak that verse to you. Over the years, Joy and I I've watched her do this when she was so deathly sick and the doctors weren't giving us any hope of things ever improving. Joy had a list of cards with healing scriptures on them. And every morning she would get up and I'd see her. She would begin to go over those scriptures. What is she doing? She's meditating. She's speaking those scriptures. What's she doing? She's focusing her thought because every other thought, guys, was negative. Every other thought. Do you realize that we're living in a world that's not really encouraging? The media, the stuff that's going on, it's just the voice is coming, so not encouraging. My wife is sick, she's got symptoms, she's got all this pain. She needed some different thoughts. And by taking God's word and beginning to think about that, don't take a whole bunch, take one. Joyce had our staff in staff prayer. Go over and over one scripture. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. And she's had them speak and begin to speak to themselves. Now, here's what's happened. And then she goes over it the next week and goes over it the next week, the same scripture. Now your head's going, I got this. I know the scripture. I've got it memorized. Yeah, but when you meditate on it, you're beginning to think, and it begins to, remember the Bible said, it's life to those that find them. It's like spiritual food. It does something for you spiritually. Don't check your feelings. This just what God said. You're putting food in you. Quick question. How many of you have come into church services and you have felt, and you've walked out feeling like a whole lot better? Thank you for clapping. I really appreciate that. That's a plant. I paid him. Clap when I say this. Will you do that? No. How many of you know that you can come in, you can feel, but after some worship, after some praise, after hearing God's word, you leave like a little bit like, a little bit ready more, ready to go. Ready? Any of you? Four of you? Five. Can I get six? Okay. Maybe some other church you've done that, but maybe you come to church and you've heard God's word and it's done something to you. Listen, you don't have to wait till you come to church. You can sit in your chair at home. Joy has her chair. I take over the entire bed, but I'll just sit there and just, you begin to feed on God's word. Now, what if you took that verse? You've been dealing with fear. You've been dealing with anxiety. I always tell people, get a verse. Find one verse and begin to think about that. You can take, God hasn't given me a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and of a sound mind. You can walk around. I used to take little cards to work someday, and I'd take breaks, and I'd just walk out, and I would read the card, and I'd speak, especially if I was going through a difficult time. Why? Because I needed to get my mind focused. Because where's the battle, guys? It's here. It's here. And you can come out, and you can get up in the morning, you can pray and read, and you can go, and just all of a sudden, everyone knows thoughts just coming your way. The psalmist said, he said, the enemy surrounded me like bees. And there are times thoughts can come at you and it seems like it's bees. And you got to have some way to combat that. So when your thoughts start going crazy, listen, don't let anyone ever tell you, you can't control how you think. You say, Alan, I thought we were talking about guarding our heart. I'm exactly what I'm talking about is guard. If you're going to guard your heart, you got to change your thoughts. You've got to begin to change. You say, well, I don't even know where to start. Take one verse. Take one. And just take a little time and think about it. Now, this is interesting. The people, I received an article in the email today telling me how wonderful meditation was. And all the studies, they've said, if you do it for 5 minutes a day, it calms anxiety. It brings your blood pressure down. And I thought, man, they're pushing this. I'm going to push it. Because if I'm going to think about anything, what's a better thought than one of God's thoughts? Amen. Now, you think about it. There's a lot of thought out there, but instead of just emptying my mind, I want to put something in my mind. And so I'm going to put God's thoughts in, and I'm going to focus. Now, here's the deal. If you've never done this before, it'll take a little while. Because your mind wants to take off in about 50 different directions, like boom, bing, 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 bing. But if you begin to bring it in, and you talk about bringing a level of peace in your life, this can bring a peace that passes all understanding. Does this make sense? I realize I threw a lot at you tonight, but you're Wednesday nighters. You can handle it. Right? Remember, you're special. Right? Okay. All right. So here's the deal. Here's the deal. I tell you what. I'm going to take this up again next week. And I'll go because I didn't finish tonight. Y'all listened way too well and pulled me off in too many different directions. It's your fault. It's not mine. It's all right. Okay, well, let's pray before we go. Would you bow your heads with me? Heavenly Father, thank you so much that your word is life, and it's life to our minds when there's no peace there. Father, thank you that your word is helpful. And Father, for those people who have thought that they could never have peace, could never have their mind quiet, could never be strong in that area, Father, thank you that that's not true, that they're new creations, and you've enabled them to be partakers of your wonderful inheritance and your peace and your control, self-control, that's in you. And we thank you, Father, because you're our Father, and that's in us. And we give you all the praise for that. So help us begin to focus our thoughts on your thoughts, because they're higher and better. His heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If you came this evening and said, Alan, I don't even have a relationship with the Lord Jesus. I know that. He knows that. But I want to. Or maybe you're like I was. Raised in church, knew the Lord, got away from Him. And in your heart right now, you're saying, I need to get back to God. I really do. Well, we're going to do something. We're going to say a prayer. It's a simple prayer. It's a short prayer. And we're not even going to ask that you stand up or come to the front. But right in your chair, right where you are, this prayer is for you. So if that's you that I'm talking to, you're not ashamed to admit it. Just say, Alan, that is me. Would you pray for me? I want in on this prayer. I want to come back to the Lord. I want to know Him for the very first time. Real quick, just slip your hand up across the auditorium, if you would. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Thanks. Great. Wonderful. Thank you for your courage. Good job. Put your hands down. We're going to pray. Maybe you did not lift your hand. You wanted to, but you thought, I missed it. No. You didn't miss it. You can pray this prayer right out of your heart. We're going to pray it with you as a church family. It's a powerful prayer. It changes things. It's a heart prayer. So pray this. Say, Dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe You're the Son of God. I believe You died on the cross for my sins. And God raised You from the dead. Right now. I confess You as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank You, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with You. I'm a new creation in Christ because I said yes to You. Father, thank You for those that prayed that prayer. And Father, thank You for this group here. I ask that You would bless them, that You would keep them safe, that Your hand would be upon them, and that Your face would shine on them in all their ways. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. For more about the Ark, visit thearkchurch.com.